our New Testament lesson, first lesson, is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 16 through 34. Hear now the word of our Lord. Once, when we were going to our place of prayer, and if you'll notice throughout the book of Luke, it will alternate between they were going and we were going. Once while they or once while we. In this case, it is the person who wrote the book of Acts, which is Luke, speaking. And he says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled, he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in on the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up when he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and his family, all his family, were baptized. The jailer brought him into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had become to believe in God, he and his whole family. Now turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last chapter of the book, verses 12 through 21. So we're reading the last verses of Revelation. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord be with God's people. Amen. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We heard in our Old Testament scripture the many ways in the Psalm, many ways that God cares for his people. But we also heard the many ways that God speaks to his people. It talks about God being command of all of the world, of the oceans, of the waves, of the sun, of the rain, of the earth, even the earth as it quakes. We heard in the book of Acts how God calls the earth to quake, to shake loose the open the doors and to call everybody's attention really to the fact that the shackles were being released through the Holy Spirit. We recall this not long ago when we were celebrating Easter that God caused the great earthquake as Jesus breathed his last breath. It is easy to forget that the God we worship is the creator of this earth. He created it from nothing. He didn't create the earth from dust. He created the dust. He created everything that is. And he created you and me as well. The hymn we sang earlier is one of my favorite. It is "Well With My Soul." And it's written by Horatio G. Spafford. And I've talked to you about this in the past, but if you're like me, we need to hear it again and again. Horatio Spafford was a businessman in Chicago. He was a God-fearing businessman. He was a businessman who had the love of Jesus Christ, and he had a fervor for Christ, and he had planned on going to a mission trip. Now I'm just getting ahead of myself. He had many real estate holdings around Chicago. And then there was the Great Fire of Chicago. And almost all of his real estate, his buildings, his magnificent buildings that he owned, all of his businesses that he owned, his lifelong investment went up in smoke. And he lost everything. And his response was to become even more fervent and more and to believe in Jesus Christ even more and to trust Jesus Christ even more. And he began to bow as he began to rebuild his financial empire. He started investing heavily in the Reverend Moody's evangelistic mission, and started supplying and supporting Moody and his worldwide evangelism tours. And he rebuilt his financial empire to some extent. And after he got things going, at least where he could feel a little bit comfortable, he decided that he needed to get a time of respite and retreat, and he was going to go and join Moody on an evangelism tour in Europe. And he and his daughters and the wife and his four daughters were getting ready to go, and at the very last moment, he had some sort of mishap. I don't know what it was. Something happened in business, and he had to delay going, but he told them to go ahead, that they had a luxury liner that would sail, and he said, you go ahead, and I'll follow on the first boat that's available to join you. He didn't want to miss them, to miss out on the beautiful staterooms and the luxury. And so they sailed, and the ship hit a great storm and was destroyed. And all four of his daughters drowned. And his wife survived only by coming upon a piece of wood from the ship and clung on to it. And she was eventually rescued. And I don't recall the exact words, maybe one of you do, that she telegraphed back to him, because telegraph was a new thing in that day. But she told them that all was lost. And it was with a heavy heart that he caught the next boat and sailed to meet her. And the song that he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul, he sat down and wrote after the captain of the ship pointed out to him the remnants of the wreckage and stuff, and there were still some floating by, showing him where his four daughters had perished. The point is that God is working throughout our lives. Moody went on to Spafford went on to support and lead a ministry for the rest of his life. This changed his life. So instead of becoming another powerful businessman in Chicago like he had been before, even though he was a God-fearing businessman, he devoted the rest of his life to Jesus Christ, to spreading the word. And he and his wife, and they had more children after that, served the Lord in several nations for the rest of his life. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul does not mean that everything goes well for us all the time as we understand it. What it is well with my soul means is that we trust God. That we trust God in all things, even when it seems so terrible. Even when it seems so lost. Even when it seems there is nothing to be had. Even as we read the scripture from Isaiah this morning, we're talking of when God was comparing his love for Israel as that of a mother's love that is never ending and unconditional and never failing and always there. We need to always trust that the love of God is always there, and that God created this world that to us seems in so much turmoil. God created this world that to us seems often so wrong and so weak and so dangerous. But it was created by God for God's good purposes. And you and I were created by God for God's good purposes as well. And even as Horatio Spafford endured, even in the face of the fact that he had lost everything that he had, and he found new ways to serve God, and then once he lost everything that mattered again, and still he turned to God, not away from God. Many would have turned away from God in anger and cursed the name of God for the rest of their lives, but Horatio Spafford truly had the Holy Spirit within him, truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And even as did Job, when everything seemed to go terribly, terribly wrong, he blessed God and he thanked God for what he had and thanked God for what he had enjoyed and what he had been given. We too often thank God when things go well, and at the very least ignore God when things go bad. But it is in our grief that sometimes God can speak to us most deeply and draw us even closer. Too often in our success and in our joy, we're too busy patting ourselves on the back to listen to God. And sometimes God needs to bring us close to Him, close to Him in times of grief, to use us according to His good will. We remember the story that I quote often about the man that was made blind from birth, so that when Jesus healed him in front of the people and the disciples, he could glorify God. And as he did, went to the temple and glorified God. And in studying the book of Acts, the last couple of weeks, we talked about a beggar who was at the door of the temple. And when Peter and John walked into the temple, they said, "We don't have any gold or silver." And they took him by the hand and told him to walk and be strong. And this man who had been carried in by his friends every day to beg at the temple gate got up and leapt for joy. God used their infirmity not only so that they could believe, but so that others could believe as well. God is working in our lives in so many ways that are beyond our understanding. And because it is beyond our understanding, the only way that we can ever grasp this is through faith, is knowing that it's okay. Any of you who have ever come to a child who's been injured and everything, one of your children or grandchildren, and they've been injured and they're in pain and they're hurting and everything, have seen the difference it makes when you hold them and pick them up and tell them it's going to be okay. And it's that type of relationship that Jesus describes to us in the book of Isaiah, that it says that he's holding them in his arms. And he's like a mother nurses a child. He's holding them in his arms. And he's saying that it's going to be okay. And the child is okay because the child believes in the mother. And we can be okay when we believe in the Jesus Christ who died for us, who gave his life for us, who shed his blood for us, who bore my sins and your sins even to the cross. Because Jesus Christ bore our sins even to the cross, we can know that when he says it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And we can take comfort, just as a child takes comfort, in the knowledge and the assurance, just as Horatio Spafford did, that it is well with my soul. And he is with us in the details of our lives. And the details are where it gets so messy in our lives. The details seem to just, it's easy for us to read scripture and say amen, but it's not so easy to read a letter from the bank or a letter from one of our children or grandchildren or an email or a voicemail or a text message that we just don't want to hear. It's hard to say amen after that. But it's in that time when we receive this text message that we don't want to receive, this letter that we don't want to get, this phone call that we were dreading. It's in that very time that we need to trust in God, that we need to seek the Lord who created us for that moment, to be there for that moment of that day, at that time. Amen.